Jayadatha Madhava Kuncha Bihari. Jayadatha Madhava Kuncha Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashodhanandhana Vrajajanaranjana. Yashodhanandhana Vrajajanaranjana. Namunatira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachadi. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Ashtota Lepati Shriman His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Shri Shri Kishore Kishore Ki Jai. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. Shri Shri Dornitai Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Shri the Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudiraye nashta praishva badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki paramananda pathaya prema varshaksharayate sarvada sarvasevyaya shri krishnaya namostume. So I'd like to beg the blessings of my seniors, anyone who's listening. Most of the people who are hearing this are my senior, and the rest of you are my friends. So please shower your mercy and your blessings that maybe this will at least help to purify some of the things within my heart. We're reading today from Canto 10, Chapter 14, entitled Brahman's Prayers to Lord Krishna, text number 55. We're coming to the end of the chapter. We're reading 54 also, so I'll just read that and then we'll recite 55 together. So number 54 is
Tasmat priyatama swatma sarvesham apidehinam tad artam eva sakalam jagad etach characharam.
Therefore, it is his own self that is most dear to every embodied living being, and it is simply for the satisfaction of this self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving entities exists. Purport. The word characharam indicates moving living entities such as animals and non-moving living entities such as trees. Or the word may also refer to moving possessions such as one's family and pets, and non-moving possessions such as one's house and household paraphernalia. So we can recite this responsibly.
Krishnam enam avehi tvam Atmanam akilatmanam jagadhitaya sopyatra dehiva bhati mayaya. Krishnam enam avehi tvam Atmanam akilatmanam jagadhitaya sopyatra Dehiva bhati mayaya.
Please chant.
Krishnam enam avehi tvam Atmanam akilatmanam Krishnam enam avehi tvam Atmanam akilatmanam jagadhitaya sopyatra dehiva bhati mayaya.
And the word for bird, Krishnam, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Enam, this, avehi, just try to understand. Tvam, you, atmanam, the soul, akila atmanam, of all living entities, jagat hitaya, for the benefit of the whole universe. Sah, he, api, certainly, atra, here, dehi, a human being, eva, like, abhati, appears, mayaya, by his internal potency. In the translation, you should know Krishna to be the original soul of all living entities. For the benefit of the whole universe, he has, out of his causeless mercy, appeared as an ordinary human being. He has done this by the strength of his internal potency. And now the purport, which is just like a copy paste of Srila Prabhupada's purport, because he commented on this verse in Madhya Lila chapter 20. So, the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 20, text 162, Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse as follows. Parikshit Maharaj asked Shukadev Goswami why Krishna was so beloved by the residents of Vrindavan, who loved him even more than their own offspring or life itself. At that time, Shukadev Goswami replied that everyone's Atma, or soul, is very, very dear, especially to all living entities who have accepted material bodies. However, that Atma, the spirit soul, is part and parcel of Krishna. For this reason, Krishna is very dear to every living entity. Everyone's body is very dear to oneself, and one wants to protect the body by all means, because within the body, the soul is living. Due to the inanimate relationship between the soul, the intimate relationship between the soul and the body is important and dear to everyone. Similarly, the soul, being part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is very, very dear to all living entities. Unfortunately, the soul forgets his constitutional position and thinks he is only the body, Dehatma Buddhi. Thus, the soul is subjected to the rules and regulations of material nature. When a living entity, by his intelligence, reawakens his attraction for Krishna, he can understand that he is not the body, but part and parcel of Krishna. Thus, filled with knowledge, he no longer labors under attachment to the body and everything related to the body. Janasya moho yam aham mameti. Material existence, wherein one thinks, I am the body and this belongs to me, is also illusory. One must redirect his attraction to Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.7 states, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayad Ahaitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Swapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dhina Bandha Jigatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vanchakalpa Tribhyascha Kripa Sindhubhi Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravaktivinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'll begin just by explaining a little bit about where we are. In text number 49, Parikshit Maharaj, after hearing the story of how Lord Krishna took the form of the calves and the cowherd boys to bewilder Brahman, to bring pleasure to the residents of Raj, he was a little bit amazed because the elder gopis, they seemed to show love for Krishna that was greater than that of their own children, which didn't make much sense to him because a mother's love is so unbelievably powerful. And they were wondering, he was wondering, how is it that they loved
How is it they loved Krishna more than their own children? This seems like a stretch. Sure, they loved Krishna, but I can't wrap my mind around how their love could move to such an extent. And so Shukadeva Goswami, he starts by explaining the nature of affection and explaining what affection actually is amongst embodied beings. So first, he establishes the basis of his argument by saying that for all beings, for all entities, the self is the most dear thing. The most dear object is one's own self. And then he explains that any attachment that is there for any other object, whether it be one's car or one's house or one's children or husband or wife, any attachment is gauged in relation to how dear it is to one's own self. And so in that way, we have this hierarchy of aham and mama. Aham means I, the most dear, the self, and mama means mine. So as Nityananda Pranprabhu explained the other day very nicely, that naturally anything that is mine will be subordinate to the love that I feel for myself. Then Shukadeva Goswami explains that for those people that take the body as the self, then anything in relation to the body, wives, children, house, anything, is going to be less dear than the body itself. And then he explains that the body, when it starts to fail, one gets a glimpse of the fact that there is a difference between the body and the self. But still, the propensity is to want to maintain the body or to get a new body because of this understanding that still I want to please myself. Because as conditioned souls, but actually just as an ontological fact of our existence as jivas, as beings, we are predisposed to want to please our own senses and to love ourselves. Anything else is going to be in relation to this paradigm. And so, the ultimate conclusion is that we're ontologically selfish. That from the basic understanding of our nature, we can only really love ourselves. And this pervades all relationships. It pervades everything that we come across in the world. Everything that we do, everyone that we interact with, is on the basis of wanting gratification for myself or wanting a sense of well-being. We see philanthropists, we see so many people, they go out, but anything that they do is ultimately based on the satisfaction that I derive. Anything that I do is based on the satisfaction that I derive from that action. And he's explaining this in relation to the Vraj Gopis. So he's not only speaking in relation to materially embodied beings. He's speaking about the nature of affection itself. And so he then explains the way out of this conundrum. Because this conundrum, it even pervades transcendental realization. Brahman realization, the realization of merging into the Supreme, of coming to that zero point, or coming to Brahmananda, where one is liberated from the material world, it's still on the basis of wanting to move out of suffering for my own gratification. Even if it's the highest form of gratification, it still is clinched by the fact that I want this to some degree for myself. This is the difference between moksha and bhakti. But interestingly, what Shukadeva Goswami has explained here, using the word, or the two words, atmanam, akhilatmanam, is that the way out of this ontological selfishness is not necessarily to become selfless. But actually what it means is to love the self of the self. So an intelligent man, he sees that, okay, I'm bound by this mindset of being selfish. And what is my way out? Because I can't erase what I feel. My way out is to love Krishna, because Krishna is the very soul of the soul. He's the heart of one's heart. And this is demonstrated by this pastime, because the elder gopis, it was natural for them, because they were in a relationship with Krishna, to love Krishna more than their children, to love Krishna more than life itself, as Prabhupada adds in the purport. Because Krishna is the soul of the soul. That's actually the only way out of this selfish conundrum of material existence, of existence itself, is to love Krishna. So Shukadev Goswami, he's explained like this, Atmanam Akhilatmanam. He says, Parikshit Maharaj, you understand that Krishna, he is the soul of the soul. Therefore, it's quite natural for the Raj Gopis to love like this. That's your answer. Because selfishness is inherent. But to be truly, truly, we must take selfishness to the highest extent. And then we can repose our love in Krishna. And it's interesting because the entire philosophy of the Bhagavatam actually revolves around this simple point. The first 9 topics of the Bhagavatam, which are stated in other Puranas, they lead to the 10th topic, which is Ashraya, which is where do I repose my propensity to love? And where do I repose this desire to have a pure relationship? Where do I repose this need which is within me? And who do I give it to? And so the Bhagavatam answers by saying, Swayam Rup Krishna. Krishna is the original fountainhead. The Brahma Samhita also confirms Krishna is the original fountainhead of everything, of all avatars, of all beings. And so love him. So we have to love him. He is the Ashraya. It's not that we're meant to stop loving, as the Advaitins and the Buddhists, that's their solution. That okay, love brings misery, because in this world, it's nothing but problems. The Buddhists, they say, any happiness, everything is suffering, and any happiness is just suffering waiting to happen. So actually a wise man will see, and he'll stop trying to be happy. He will just sit and relax, and realize that as soon as he can let go of everything, he'll realize that he's nothing, and then everything is okay. There's no problems. The Mayavadis have a similar conception. The Advaitins, those who study Advaita Vedanta, they have a similar conception. It's worded differently, but ultimately the conclusion is to let go of everything, because I've experienced so much difficulty in this world in my attempt to find a place to fill this propensity that it'll be easier if I just give it all up. But that is not the philosophy of the Bhagavatam. The philosophy of the Bhagavatam is to seek out where we can repose our love and where we can place it so that it may actually be fulfilled and reciprocated. We're running all around this world looking for someone who can reciprocate with us in a full way. And because we take the body as the self, or even if we don't directly take the body as the self, because we still have some attachment to this conception that I can fulfill my selfish desires through the exploitation of another, because of that, we consistently run into the wall of the fact that that is temporary. So the Bhagavatam, it tells us that Krishna, he is the Ashraya. And in the beginning, in the first verse, the very first verse, this is established with one simple word, which is swarat, which generally means independent, but this word can be taken, and it has been interpreted by our acharyas in many different ways, because this first verse actually speaks the entire philosophy of the Bhagavatam from A to Z. It's generally the style of Vedic writing, the style of an Upanishad or a Purana, that the first verse encapsulates all of the knowledge that will be expounded upon later on. And so one who has the proper intelligence, just by reading the first verse, he can understand the entire book. The entire rest of the book is actually just a purport on the first verse. So, being that it's only a 30-word verse, every word has an unbelievable amount of depth, and depending on the angle you look at it, a simultaneously harmonious but expansive way of explaining the philosophy. So this word swarat, which is generally taken to mean independent, it refers to the fact that Krishna is the only worthy repose of rasa. He's the only one who is fit to be reciprocated with. Because actually, any other relationship that we try to undergo, it ends in ras abhas. So abhas, ras abhas, it means an unfavorable mixture of rasas. So if we try to love someone, say a woman tries to love a man, even if that love is able to endure for some time, eventually beauty has to fade. Eventually intelligence will fade. Things will set in. Death will come. One of those bodies, generally because it doesn't happen together, one of those bodies will turn into ashes. One cannot repose love with a pile of ashes. One of our acharyas makes a comment like this. If we try to repose our love in something temporary, then it will only lead to suffering. Because then we're left with this desire and this need, this hole in our heart that we tried to fill with this thing. And the person that we are trying to fulfill it with, or the object even, as Kali Yuga progresses, we see that people, they're so let down by their personal relationships that they move down in the rung. Somebody gets a dog and they love their dog, and I love him because he can't argue with me. I love him because he's just there. They take a relationship which has less of the dynamics of a relationship because they find more stability in it, because they're let down so much by actual relationships with people or cars or houses. People repose their love in their bank account. And even we see the purest relationship, that of a mother and a child. A mother's love for her child is so, so powerfully strong. But the thing is, it must go away. That ras abhas, that unfavorable feeling has to come, because that child has to grow up. Everyone's mother, I'm sure everyone has heard their mother say, "Oh, when you were five, you know, you were just so wonderful, and I remember how you used to do this," and she's remembering, and every mother in their heart, they remember that and wish for that special time when their child was completely dependent on them and they were their best friend and like that. And so in slow degrees, this relationship, this attempt at the relishment of rasa, it has to fail. It has to go. And so the Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavad Gita actually, gives us a nice sutra on this argument, because the Gita is actually known as Gita Upanishad. It's listed, or it's stated to be a list of sutras. Sutras are extremely, extremely compact wisdom phrases. Because this is spoken by Krishna, it also is set up in such a way that it's not necessarily poetry, though it is poetic. It's meant that every word can be taken and can be churned into very, very, very deep meaning. So we hear Dukalayam Ashashvatam. This is the classic Hare Krishna, heavy, the world is useless verse. Every first year brahmachari knows Dukalayam Ashashvatam. It's miserable and temporary. So Dukalayam means miserable. It means the world is suffering. Everything that you experience here is going to be terrible. It's generally, even in the beginning, again, as Kali Yuga progresses, it's a letdown, and it's just not enjoyable. But even if it is enjoyable, Krishna understood that somebody would interject, somebody would be intelligent, and they would say, "Oh, well, my life isn't that bad. Actually, things are going good right now. I have a good job. I get 3 meals a day. My friends are cool. Everything's going well." So Krishna says, "Okay, I'll give you that. Maybe it's not abject suffering at this point, but it is certainly ashashvatam." Ashashvatam means temporary. And basically what Krishna is saying, he's saying, "Okay, it may not be dukkhalayam right now, but just wait. Just give it some time. It will turn into dukkhalayam." And we can see this. I can certainly see this in my life. I remember having this realization early on, sometime in middle school. I told one of my friends, I said, you know, everything in my life is going really good. I have a car. This was high school, not middle school. I have a car. You know, I have a nice job, pretty girlfriend, everything's well. But I looked at my friend and I said, just wait. In 6 months, I'm going to be singing a different tune. Inexplicably, I can just see that it's going to happen. I can see that's the way the world works. It moves in waves. Happy, sad, happy, sad. And as we go, this function, it wears us out. And this is actually one of the designs of the material world. Krishna has made it dukkhalayam and ashashvatam, so that we can understand that it's not going to be permanent. As long as I try to repose my love, as long as I try to exchange rasa here in this place, it's not going to happen. Ashashvatam, ashashvatam. But we have a very, 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 very fortunate opportunity, because we've come in contact with the devotees, because we've come in contact with His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. We can take dukkhalayam ashashvatam, and we can turn it into sukhalayam and shashvatam. Sukhalayam is the opposite of dukkhalayam. It means happiness, unending happiness. Shashvatam, instead of ashashvatam, shashvatam means eternal. That which is shashvat, it lasts forever. So if we take to this process, if we turn to Krishna, who is Swarat, who is the actual repose of our love, who is the very self of the self, He's the heart of hearts. If we turn to Him, then this world can turn into sukhalayam and shashvatam for us and for the devotees. And we can enter into the reality of sukhalayam and shashvatam. Because actually, Krishna, He is the wellspring from which all rasa comes from. Srila Rupa Goswami, He opens up His Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Srila Prabhupada translated to us as the nectar of devotion, with the verse Akila Rasamrita Murti. Krishna is the very form from which all rasa, all love, all transcendental exchange comes from. No matter what relationship you desire, no matter what way you feel to love, the best person to reciprocate that with is Krishna. Even anger, fear, hatred, we have Kamsa, we have Shishupal, even they experience the greatest benefit simply by reposing those emotions in Krishna. That isn't our goal. Our goal is to love Krishna and to reciprocate in a higher rasa. But because Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti, even those things which wouldn't generally be considered favorable in any other relationship, Krishna can reciprocate in the perfect way and give that person exactly what will please them the most and what will bring them to the highest point of ecstasy in that type of a relationship. So therefore, one with intelligence, even though he has this selfish propensity, he will go to the root of all rasa, the source for full satisfaction. Furthermore, taking that into account, taking Krishna's independence and His eternality into account, the fact that he is the fountainhead from which all rasa springs, he's also the only one who is capable of fully reciprocating with one's desires. He's the only one who is able to reciprocate, not with just one person fully, but every being in existence, Krishna can give Himself to entirely. Mathematically, we express this by saying infinity minus infinity equals infinity. When you take infinity away from infinity, you don't end up with zero. You end up with infinity remaining. In the language of the Upanishads, we say, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. The complete whole, when you take something complete, anything that comes from the complete whole is also complete. Any emanation that comes from the complete whole. Therefore, he remains complete in himself because he's also complete, and that thing is complete. So Krishna is able to reciprocate and give himself to an individual in such a way that he can also do that for everybody else. And that individual will think, I'm having Krishna all to myself. Krishna and I are reciprocating right now. It's not that you're having a conversation with Krishna and then he gets a phone call from somebody else. You know, somebody, some other devotee, oh, I really want to be with Krishna right now. And then he's, oh, excuse me, Alex, one moment. And then he talks, yeah, this is just going to be a minute. You know, this is my dear devotee. I've got to, yeah, sorry about that. What were we getting into? Krishna is able to reciprocate fully. This is illustrated to Narada Muni's great bewilderment when Narada Muni visits the palaces of Krishna in Dwarka. He goes to one palace and he sees Krishna. There are 16,000 palaces because Krishna has 16,000 queens in Dwarka. So he goes to one palace, and because Narada Muni is able to travel anywhere he wants at will, it's not that he just walks up. He appears, something like appears in the lobby of the palace on the spot. And he sees Krishna and he's reciprocating with one of his wives. It's Rukmini. And he sees that they're joking and she's laughing and things are going on. His children are there. And then Krishna, he sees Narada Muni and he welcomes him. He sits him down, he washes his feet, he gives him a great welcome. And then Narada Muni, just being bewildered and amazed because this is Krishna, and why is Krishna washing my feet? He knows who Krishna is, so it's amazing for him that Krishna is doing this. So he goes to leave and he goes to see one of the other palaces. And he, very quickly, our acharyas say, he doesn't walk there. He just, Narada Muni, appears in the next palace. And he sees Krishna's already there with Satyabhama. He's reciprocating with Satyabhama and her children, and they're laughing. And so Krishna goes to walk up to him, and like he hasn't seen him yet. Oh, Narada Muni, you've come. Amazing. Wow. Please sit down. What grace do I have that such a brahmana as yourself, a muni like yourself, has come to my house? And Narada Muni just walks out. And he goes to the next palace. And Jambavati is there. And he's arguing with Jambavati. Krishna's arguing with Jambavati because that's also pleasure. And he's, what? And he goes to the next palace. And the next queen is there. And Krishna is already there. And he realizes, he goes to so many palaces, one after another, over and over and over. And he realizes, Krishna's in all of them. And he's reciprocating with each one of these queens. And each one of these queens is thinking, I have Krishna all to myself. He chose me over the other 16,107 other queens. He came to be with me. Because Krishna wants to relish that love. And he's the only one who is capable of doing it. And this extends to all beings. Krishna is able to give beyond complete satisfaction. Not just complete satisfaction, but beyond complete satisfaction to any individual. Therefore, he is Akila Rasamrita Murti. And so, knowing this, Krishna and his devotees, Krishna wants to give the opportunity because Krishna's interest is to relish more and more. And Krishna's devotees want to give this opportunity out because they see the suffering of those in this world and they just think, why are you wasting your time? You have such a beautiful reality just waiting for you to turn to it. And so the devotees go out and they want to share this. They want to increase Krishna's bliss because ultimately his desire is just to enjoy more and more and more in this wonderful festival, as Srila Prabhupada calls it, the traveling festival. It goes through the universes. And the devotees, they want to share that. They want to share that. And so Krishna, out of his unlimited mercy, he creates such an opportunity for the fullest satisfaction for the wayward jivas of this world. Therefore, this verse says, Jagadittaya Sopyatra. Jagadittaya. He is the protector and the savior of the entire world. What this really means, it doesn't mean he comes down and he protects me from the suffering that I'm in. It doesn't mean he fixes my life so that I may have a nice arrangement and my car doesn't break down and I didn't get fired from work because I worship God in the morning. It doesn't mean this. It means He gives me an opportunity. He gives all the jivas an opportunity to see that this place is Dukalayam and Shashvatam. Why not come to that other place that's Sukalayam and Shashvatam, that's full of happiness and eternal? Why not come here? So He gives this opportunity. Sri Rupa Goswami, he echoes this verse by saying, Jagadittaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. That Govinda, that Krishna, He's the one who He protects the entire universe. And what is that protection? Again, Namo Maha Vidanyaya, the most magnanimous, person, Maha Vidanyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. Pradayate means to give. Like this word Sampradaya, you may have heard it. Pradaya, to give. Sam means complete. So to be in a Sampradaya means you're receiving the most complete gift. Because the most complete gift must be passed down from those who know it and who have it already. You can't get something from someone who doesn't have it. So Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishna has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give this opportunity. This wonderful, amazing opportunity for the full satisfaction of the soul. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is our Sampradaya. The Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Gaudiya Sampradaya means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It means Krishna came because His devotees said, I want you to come and I want you to give yourself to all these people. They're suffering. They don't deserve your mercy. Their only qualification is their disqualification. But I want you to come. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has written us another beautiful verse, Anarpita Charim Chara Karunayavatirna Kalo. Anarpita Charim Chara, that which has not been given in a long time. Charim Chirat, in a long time it hasn't been given. Karunayavatirna Kalo, in this age of Kali, He descends. Samar Paitum Unatojvala, in order to give the highest echelon of love. Of love of God. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. This is what Krishna wants. This is actually the desire of the heart of Krishna. This is the entire purpose of our movement, is just to give people opportunities. For one, to take the opportunity that we've been given, because we've been given an invitation. And it's the height of irreverence to turn down such an invitation. And two, because we've been given an invitation, we've also been deputized to give that invitation out and to invite other people. Because that's what Srila Prabhupada wants. That's what the great devotees of Krishna want. They want other people to join. And they want other people to experience the satisfaction that they're experiencing. And so they come and they deputize people. In a time of war, they give a small farm boy a rifle. Kali Yuga is like a war. Kali Yuga is not a... you'll hardly find someone qualified. And so, even fools like myself, even the people you see on the street, they can be deputized to give out this amazingly high, wonderful thing that is actually outside the reach of the grasp of the Vedas. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the personified Vedas, they pray that just let us have this knowledge. Let us experience this relationship with you, O Krishna. Because actually, you are outside of us. We describe you, but we cannot capture you. So the Vedas themselves, the personified forms of the Vedas themselves pray, please, just let me enter into that Sukalayam and Shashvatam. Let me enter into that realm. That's what I have to say on the practical side. I hope it was useful. And I hope that it was enlivening. And then one thing I have to share, which is directly related to the love of the cowherd women and Krishna. I remember when I was reading this, one of our acharyas, he gives a beautiful commentary explaining a very nice detail of this pastime. Because Krishna, he's Rasika Shekara. He's just interested in relishing more and more rasa. That's his reality. His reality is, I love my devotees, they love me. And our only goal is to make that love bigger and better and more wonderful and sweet eternally. Better and better, more and more and more, step by step, pratipadam anukalam, sampardam, ever increasing, step by step, more and more. This is Krishna's goal. So actually, when Krishna did this, when he took the form of the calves and the cowherd boys, and he went, and he, as the forms of the calves, he drank the milk of the cows. And as the cowherd boys, he drank the milk from the breasts of the elder gopis. As he did this, one of his purposes for doing this, which is very, very sweet, was that, so we've already heard, and Parikshit Maharaj is asking, how is it that these gopis' love for their children increased? How is it that it went up? Because it was Krishna. So we've heard the explanation that because Krishna is the soul of the soul, their love increased even more than their love for their children. But what this did is, when their children came back after the pastime, after the Vishnumurtis, they revealed themselves to Brahma, and then the actual cowherd boys came back and went and reciprocated with their mothers, that love did not go down. They still had this intensely more heightened love for their sons and the cows for their calves. But because their love for Krishna will always be higher, this was actually a way that Krishna could also increase their love for him. Because concomitantly, as their love for their children went up, to the same degree, their love for Krishna went up. Because Krishna was also still there. So they loved their children, and their love for Krishna increased. So this was just one way that Krishna could pull more love from the heart of his devotees. So, this is what I could churn out of this. If there are any mistakes, please know that they're mine and correct me. And anything that you liked or you saw, please know that that's my guru's. Hare Krishna. If there are any comments, questions, or corrections, please.
Thank you, Bhakti Josh Prabhu. I have one question. You're just explaining how it's important to aim our love towards Krishna, to reciprocate with the Supreme Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, how does one go about doing that? Because although one may engage in the 9 processes of devotional service, you can still be on the mental platform and not really feel the mercy flowing. And I was wondering, you know, reciprocating with Krishna, how do you prepare yourself to receive that love?
Well, in one sense you can't, because this is the nature of infinite things. They're overwhelming. But in a practical sense, we just keep doing what has been given to us. We're in a sampradaya. That means, sampradaya means the gift has been given. We just have to continue to do what we're told. First, we have to find Guru, because he can tell us individually, this is what you do. And Krishna, he has to stick by the words of his devotee. So what your Guru tells you, Krishna will stand by. Konteya pratijanihi name bhaktya pranashyati. O Konteya, Arjuna, you declare that my devotee will never perish. What this also means, it means my devotee's word, I stand behind it. I'm asking you to say it, Arjuna, because if you say it, I have to back it up. I'm a little crooked. I may lie. I jumped into the battle. Why? Because Bhishmadev wanted me to, and I had to stand behind his word. I couldn't make my devotee a liar. So we find Guru, and we ask him, how do I reciprocate with Krishna? Practically speaking, before that, we cry for Gurudev and we chant the holy name. There are many different types of gurus. Maybe you haven't taken initiation, maybe something like that. But you find somebody who you can take shelter of, who you can really take guidance from, and Krishna will stand behind the helpful guidance of that devotee. Like that. And then as it opens up, it becomes more personal, more personal, more personal, deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. and then you can actually enter into a relationship with Krishna. This is our process. But in the very beginning, we have to go through the devotees. You know, we may not feel something in my heart, but this is the point. I feel something in my heart for this person. I like this person very much, and I want to please them. Actually, in the definition of pure devotional service, we hear Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Adhyana Vritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Ruttanam Anukulyena Krishna. That which is favorable to Krishna. Rupa Goswami, he tells us that Krishna means five things, and one of them is his entourage, his devotees. So pure devotional service can also be exchanged towards Krishna's devotees. And in fact, that's how it has to begin. Because Krishna doesn't give bhakti. His devotees give bhakti. Prabhupada said, when they asked him, how are we so fortunate, Prabhupada? How is it that we found this philosophy? And Prabhupada said, I created your fortune. Because that is our philosophy. The bhakta, he tells Bhagavan, I want you to take this person. And if he's a real bhakta, Bhagavan has to listen. Krishna has to listen. We're a little short on time. I can share a story with you afterwards that's very nice in this regard, where Prabhupada argued with Krishna and he won. So, if there's any other, maybe we have time for one more. It's 8:29, and if not, then we can end. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Shishi Kishore Kishore ki jai, Shri Jagannath Baladev Sri Bhadra Maharani ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.